Tenor sax with Soul Station, the title track of his 1960 album. Wynton Kelly on piano, Art Blakey on drums, and Paul Chambers on double bass. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and I'm seriously considering moving somewhere else. To another country, because I can't take much more of this, that's for sure. It's going crazy and getting crazier by the minute. Well, let's see. Let's see if we can brave something and talk about it. Well, a logical place to talk about is where we didn't get to last week, which is Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of the city of New York, and his cohorts are huddled talking about a possible run for the presidency. I think they should talk about running from the presidency, but they seem to be interested in talking about running for the presidency. If he does decide to run, he'll be late getting to the party. So what is it that he could be thinking? He hasn't declared, but he's made moves that suggest that running for president is something he's considering, even in the face of a plethora of reasons to quit while he's ahead. A new poll on Sunday, that's yesterday, gave just about every reason the 77-year-old former mayor of the city of New York should save himself the trouble of running. So what makes Bloomberg think he could pull off a win for president? That's the question I'm asking you, because it's a mystery to me. The campaign, for all intents and purposes, it's already in full swing, and to the point that even people have dropped out. I mean, it has gone that far. They've had debates. They've had discussions. They've had what they call debates. We call them Q&A sessions, and there's a winnowing out of finalists who will go on to test each other's strength in a runoff. But Michael Bloomberg was not in the midst at that time. So why is he doing or thinking about this and thinking about it now? Do you have any ideas? Do you have any answers to that question? please let us know at 888-874-4888. What would persuade Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of the city of New York, to consider very seriously the possibility of running for president, even though the race, I mean, it's begun, it's in full swing, and started without him. So what does he know that we don't? Or what is he thinking that we aren't? I'd love to know what you think about that. Especially those of you from New York, you have had an advantage of knowing the former mayor, and you no doubt have some idea about how he governed the city and the people's reaction to his role as mayor. But what could possibly at this stage, at this date, persuade the mayor, especially looking at how the election cycle is going already, what could possibly persuade him to think that, yeah, I think I'll give this a try. I think I'll be good. I think I could win. I don't know. Maybe we are crazy, but maybe he knows something that we don't know about elections and his capacity and the people's reaction and those kinds of things that we don't know the insides of. Maybe he has something up his sleeve. We don't know. Ma'at from New York, you're on the air.
Yes,
what would persuade Michael Bloomberg that it's a good idea now, at this time, with the race already in full swing, to seriously consider joining the fray?
Well, in his mind, when he looks at Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and the gaffe-filled Biden, he feels he's particularly threatened as a billionaire by what's represented by the progressive candidates in Warren and Sanders. And he feels in his mind that, and this really, really needs to come out, because his mayoral administration decided it was no problem to have warrantless policing of black and brown people, and so grandmothers and others who were coming out, you know, with their pockets full of cash to pay bills got shook down and robbed, and very, very little contraband or wrongdoing was evident. So people need to remember who these Republicans, because he was a longtime Republican. And didn't he also get the city council to extend the mayoral term so that he got an extra term? These people are I understand why
but
another
country.
But
you're not telling us what you think. He's thinking.
Well,
what
I
do you think he's
only
thinking
guess
that persuades them? That persuades, that might persuade, because he hasn't.
Yeah, I am.
Done
I'm
it yet.
Saying that in his mind, what I speculate is that he looks at the Democratic field and he's very frightened or very concerned that a Sanders or Warren, progressive candidates, may very well get the nomination and win. So that's what I speculate his concerns are. And he's also realized that Biden is not a good candidate. But I don't think he's sort of like in the Biden lane, you know, that moderate that's not going to bring anything. When people go with a Donald Trump, they're looking or hoping for something structurally changing. Of course, they should have figured out that it wasn't going to happen under the grifter and grafting of Donald Trump. But I think that's the way I see it, because you can't really know. But I think that he's concerned about the Democratic field, such as it is.
Hmm. Okay, well, you got us started. Thanks so much for doing that. And we are on our way. The question at hand is, we know that the presidential contest has started, and now we're hearing that Michael Bloomberg, a former mayor of the city of New York, is seriously considering, and others are urging him to seriously consider, running for president. If he does take up the hint, he would be starting late, which is one thing. But maybe he knows something that we don't know about his ability, about the field, what he's facing. Maybe he sees that he could do well in the contest, even if he starts late, because he has certain advantages over the people who already have declared. But I just don't get it. I mean, maybe he is the greatest thing since sliced bread, but it is an unusual decision to make at this time, I would say. Ron from Connecticut, you're on the air.
Hello, everybody.
Thank you. Hello.
Hope everyone is well, and I want to honor all our veterans on this day. Many of whom have been sent to their destruction and maiming for very spurious reasons. In other words, they've been used. Faithful, dedicated, patriotic people. So what would make Michael Bloomberg decide to run? That's the question I want to address. And then my answer is the devil himself. In the desert of Michael Bloomberg's soul, the devil came, like he did to Jesus, and Michael said, yeah, sure, let's go. Why am I saying these things? I want to back it up. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, before you back it up, I think you ought to just back off, because you're on a very slippery slope here in making your point.
Oh, I'm just saying that he's psychotic, that he's a sociopath, and I can prove it.
No, you can't prove it.
Okay. Can I give you some examples of his past behavior that would lead me to think that the man is really just completely
But that's not the question. The question isn't, who is Michael Bloomberg?
He's a megalomaniac, and that's what would make him
run. What might he be thinking in terms of having a viable shot as a candidate running in this cycle and running this late? What do you think, in his head, what do you think he thinks he has at his disposal to make a very good showing?
The support of the elite. The support of the power elite. His connections. I mean, he's not stupid. He's practical. But I do want to remind people correct me if I'm wrong, that he was a stop and frisk mayor, that he oversaw the brutal breakup of the Occupy movement in Zuccotti Park. And then, a year or so later, when the Zuccotti Park, this is the Occupy Wall Street crowd, when they decided to have an anniversary protest, they asked him permission to march on the Brooklyn Bridge, and he said, yes, sure, go ahead. Once 700 of them got on the bridge, the police chattled them, closed the bridge off at both ends, and arrested 700 people. That's the mayor. That's the guy who's considering running for president. That's why I call him a megalomaniac. But to answer your question specifically, he has connections to the power elite. If he feels he has their support, he'll go. He'll run.
Well, he has money. to support his
not enough
desire. If he wishes to run, he has money to fund his campaign.
Well, they'll say, go ahead, spend your money. He needs their permission. He doesn't need their money. That's all. He's waiting for the green light from the people who are really running the whole show.
But I understand where you're coming from, and you're being very critical of things that you've picked up in terms of his term in office as mayor. But the question really wants you to look at his thought process. What would persuade a Michael Bloomberg in the scenario that we can all appreciate that is happening now to seriously consider a run for mayor? I mean, for president, sorry.
The man in the mirror. Yeah, I guess when he looks in the mirror, what he sees is someone presidential.
Okay. Well, you're giving me a rough road to go here. I'm trying to you to stretch out a little bit and look at the environment in which this decision is to be made. What do you make of Michael Bloomberg's possible decision in the context of the overall scenario that we're dealing with now, people running for president?
Well, right and left, fascist power is being consolidated all over the planet. And that's one of the little jobs Giuliani's doing, running around, because it would be too obvious if Trump repeatedly kept going back to Saudi Arabia and the Philippines and other repressive regimes. So Bloomberg wants to jump on this bandwagon. Right or left, there's a fascist clampdown about to occur along with a worldwide depression. So he's just positioning himself for the most powerful standpoint to protect his interests and the interests of the elite. If they agree that their interests are the same as his, and they already have, he will have their support. But anyway, what's convincing him is he thinks he's got the... it doesn't matter if he's a late entry. The field is
okay.
Still open to him. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Ron, for your contribution.
You.
From South Carolina, Khalil, what do you think might be, should he declare, what do you think might persuade or might have persuaded Michael Bloomberg to do that, to join the fray? Khalil, you're on the air.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I hope everyone is well, first of all.
Thank you.
Yes. So I think that he sees the lay of the land, the political land, in that the DNC started out in a chaotic fashion by not figuring out that they had too many candidates to begin with. And now it's still a circus. Joe Biden has been weakened seriously. And it really seems that no one on the Democratic ticket will be able to beat Donald Trump. I mean, if they're okay candidates, if you're a Democrat, and you know they say what we like to hear, but when it comes time for the general election, are they going to have what it takes to beat Donald Trump and white supremacy and his favors that he's doing to the power elite and to the industrialist class and the capitalists? And I say no, he doesn't. I mean, we don't. And so it's going, I mean, we hate to say it. It's the truth, though. America doesn't have an appetite for a woman or a minority right now. They want to go for someone who can beat Donald Trump. You know, it's too much. And he sees that. He sees an opening. And
what do you think he sees in terms of who he is or what he has accomplished as a politician that would make him a fitting candidate going up against Trump?
Well, he says that all it takes in America right now is to be a rich white man, at least a perception of being a rich white man. I mean, that's where we are right now in America. I mean, if Donald Trump can be president, anybody can be president. Because middle America is just that stupid. You know, they don't understand his history. They don't understand Michael Bloomberg's history. You know, just as your previous callers have said, you know, he just carried on the Bratton and the Giuliani stop and frisk and it decimated neighborhoods all over, you know, the city. And that paved the way for, you know, the 42nd Street is all sanitized. It's not like it was in the 80s and the early 90s. He sees an opening. Yeah, Buttigieg sounds good, but let's face it, he's not going to be able to win the South. Bernie's great, but he can't beat Trump right now. I don't see that happening. Because this is about white supremacy. If Trump is clearly acting illegal since he was inaugurated, and he is mentally ill on top of everything else. So if they're willing to put up with that, Bloomberg said to himself, well, shoot, I can do this. That's all it takes. I don't think that Bloomberg, I can't make any statement on Bloomberg's mental health. I don't know him like that. I've not been observing him in that fashion. But he has, you know, he knows that all it takes right now is to look like a stable, powerful white man. And if you say the right things, he knows what to say. Now, and he can protect, I have to agree with the last two callers in that, he's going to protect his wealth too. But his history shows that he can ride the fence. Even though he has been a Republican, you know, he's made some decisions that I agree with and disagree with. You know, mm-hmm. He makes some common sense approaches, middle of the road. And that's what it's going to take to beat this corrupt cabal of an administration that we have now.
So do you think he's likely to enter the race, or do you think he's going to bow out?
I think he's testing the waters. I think that we'll know after Iowa. I think when he's going to wait. See, Biden is so bloodied and so beat up by now. You know, he may not make it through.
But Biden is in the lead so far among Democrats.
Yeah, right now. I don't know that that's going to last. I don't know. I just don't.
Well, actually, you know, I think, to your point, Biden looks tired. He just looks depleted. He looks like he wants to go someplace quiet and sleep. I'm not so sure that he is in the peak of health, but he is in the lead right now. We have quite a few candidates who have taken off because there's just no hope for their campaigns. And we have others like Kamala Harris and people like that who just have not gotten their campaigns started because they don't know what they're running for. People don't know why they're running. But here you have Michael Bloomberg. Let's take a look at this. Mm-hmm. He has been a mayor of a very tough city, and he's been a very tough mayor. I like your point that you observed that he has been on in different camps politically. So he's not a dyed-in-the-wool anything. He seems to be, he's not discounting valid points if he finds any. He would want to take a look at those points. He's also a very conscientious health nut. So even at his age, at 77, he looks a little bit. He reminds me. I hate to say he looks a little bit like a lizard. He looks like a lizard, but he has outlasted many people who are not at all in good shape. Politically, who was he talking to in New York, and who is he looking to talk to on a national level? Is it the same people? People today have been talking about the elites and the wealthy, people like himself, but I don't know that you could be so harsh in just saying, right, well, that he's not concerned about anybody else.
I think in his course as mayor, he's been willing
to look outside of the historic boundaries and try to establish a rapport, try to look at the bigger picture, what is best for the city, that kind of thing. I don't know if that's the spirit he's hoping to bring to, if he should enter the race, to the presidency.
I agree. And that's his magic. If maybe that's too powerful of a word, but he has the ability to be a chameleon, a political chameleon. Like, I remember he used to ride the subway to work.
Yes.
Know, maybe he said to say, well, I'm not that different from you. So that would play to the middle ground, you know, moderate. I think that when you get out of Iowa, when you really start getting into the shank of the primaries, it's going to take a middle-of-the-road position. I feel like the electorate is willing to take a corporate Democrat at this point. People just want stability and sanity. And, you know, and I think he can, like, he's going to wait. He's going to test the waters. And it's going to take a white man. I hate to say it, but that's the truth. Warren can't beat Trump. Bernie can't beat Trump. I just don't see that happening. Human nature, that just don't see it. Trump has tapped into people's lesser values, very base. Just like his base is base. That's what they are. They're very base. But he gets people excited, and people, one of the reasons that Trump, I believe, got elected or selected was because people wanted something different. And that's why he still excites some people. Because the system is broken. We all understand that. And he says one thing. I'm not trying to get too far off track, but I think that Bloomberg could, if he plays his cards right, he could present himself as a stable person of a certain age who still has some vigor. Because I don't know, like you said, I don't know that Biden has the vigor, the feminine vigor to make it to the end. You know, he may expire before the end of this campaign.
Oh, my gosh.
He doesn't have it. One good cold, the flu, that could take him out.
No, you know, I think he has something a little deeper than that happening with him. And, of course, nobody wants it to be known. But I don't know if it is, like, memory problems or clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Being cohesive and cogent. I see hints from time to time that he's having a little bit of difficulty, almost a little bit of disorientation.
Mm-hmm.
In any event, he looks a lot older than when he started. I mean, he looks like he put on 10, 12 years.
I absolutely agree with you on all points. And from a neurological standpoint, definitely. And if I'm not mistaken, he's had a brain aneurysm and he has a history of some cerebral issues. Okay. And he's at that age where he has displayed some signs of senility, maybe, or Alzheimer's dementia creeping in. And he's appeared, you know, you never know what Biden you're going to get from day to day. And that stress and his face is looking gone. Now, it's something is just not right. I agree with you. Something is just not quite right with him. And that's a whole other issue about medical care and people getting checked out when they get to a certain stage in this process. But, yes, and I think that was one of the things that Bloomberg is shrewd. He's very shrewd, and he's good at observation. He knows what to say and when to say it. When I was observing him, when I was in the area, and he has a cool head. You know, he just doesn't say things off the cuff. He can be very serious, and he can make the right statement at the right time. And Joe Biden talks off the cuff, and sometimes it plays, and sometimes it's just like, what?
I know. It could be a little bit embarrassing because he's not prepared, and you see it. You know, he can't run away from it. He's just winging it. So, well, yeah. Thank you. We'll see if Bloomberg makes a decision soon, and he better make a decision soon because he's running out of time. Ed from Queens, you're on the air. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Utrice. How you doing?
Okay. How's by you?
Hanging in there. Sometimes by my thumbs, but still hanging. when it comes to Mayor Mike, I mean, I don't get people. This is what I call the time of the opportunist. We have the ultimate opportunist who wormwooded his way into the White House, and we have another opportunist. And I'm sick and tired of deciding between the lesser of two evils. You understand?
You prefer the evil of two lessers?
The evil of two lessers, the lesser of two evils, whatever you want to call it. These men have no grounding in the foundation. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Hello? Yeah, no, I heard the music. I thought I got cut off. these men have no foundation in real life. They're multi-billionaires. Their concerns are not mine. I don't think they could ever relate to the common person. To the person who's working 40, 45 hours a week trying to keep your head above water. They don't have any connection to the common people, no matter how they try to fake it. And I've had experience around some, not mega rich people, but people of a certain ilk just can't relate. And they can try, they can fawn, they can posture. But the bottom line is you need people who represent your best interest. That's what politics is about. People who represent your interest. You don't vote for someone who has no idea of what natural real life is about on the ground. And these men don't have any idea.
So does he have less of an idea than the rest of the gang that's running?
I think they all don't have an idea.
Okay.
It's time for an upheaval. It's time to break this system and throw it out. And I just don't think the American people have the strength to do it. I don't think they've had enough tribulation and enough, for want of a better word, torture yet. I think when the misery index reaches a certain point, we're going to get it. And I just going to have to ride through it and try to take care of our local concerns and try to take care of each other locally as best we can and ride through the storm, because there isn't anyone out there that, as far as I'm concerned, represents my interest or has any idea of what my interests are. You know, we got half of the nation wants free health care. Half of the nation wants student loan debt revoked. Half of the nation wants a decent green energy policy, for want of a better word. And these are not really addressed. And let's not even get into reparations. Not even get into that, because that's just a dog and pony show to influence a certain part of the electorate, i.e. African American. So all of these real issues are being played to very poorly, very posthumously, and I'm sick of it. I got to disconnect from this whole nonsense. Bloomberg is just another rich white guy to me. And the only reason
you're ignoring a very important point, I think, Ed, and that is when you say that none of these people are paying attention to this or they're not paying attention to that, you know how politics works. You get attention because you demand attention, and you demand attention by being part of the process. Now, you can't be apart from the process and still expect people to pay attention to you. We have this problem all the time. We haven't come to terms with the fact that groups of people have unique concerns and unique demands. But you would find that those who invest in carrying home the point will get a better reception. But you can't just say, well, if you intend to be a fair politician, you should naturally recognize all these different aspects of the electorate and pay attention to every one of them. You know, that's not the way it works.
Well, I know in the ideal world that would be the way it works, but the bottom line is the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and we need to organize and be that squeaky wheel. I mean, you look at China. You look at what's happening in South America. These people are putting it on the line. You understand what I'm saying? And Americans are not willing to do that. Americans are not willing to put it all on the line to invest a heavy amount of skin in the game and to make these politicians stand up and take notice. There have been periods in American history where it has happened. I mean, the 1960s, the 1930s, the Great Depression, those. But I believe that our political education, our political IQ in this country is very low. And people don't understand the nature of politics and what politics is really about, which is the allocation of resources to select groups or the welfare of the common good. You know, and people don't realize that anymore. That's why these millionaires can get in these positions of power. I mean, you remember years ago when you were a kid, you used to have the cartoons, and you would see the guy with the top hat and the mustache and taking on Nell's farm. Those were the bankers. Those were the bad guys. Those weren't the good guys. You know, these were the guys that you despise against. These were the guys that would take your farm, that would take your mortgage, that would throw you out on the street. These are not the good guys. And their personality has changed because they have the money to influence propaganda. But they're not the good guys. They're not the guys we should be looking for the answers for.
Well, look at what is, I mean, set Bloomberg aside for the minute. And talk about what remains, the gaggle of geese that remain running under the Democratic banner. They are declared and they're running, and it's a mess. It's a mess now.
Well, I'm talking about Bernie. I mean, I could really see Bernie Sanders, even though people question his health. I believe he's the best. He's the best arbitrator for the common man. As far as I agree with a lot of his policies, I agree with a lot of his stands, not all of them, but I think he's the closest thing we're going to get to a solution in the way the way things are. He's the closest real answer that I see, an electable answer. Even with the way the Electoral College is, he can get enough votes to defeat Trump. I think a lot of people are underestimating the fact that people are fed up with Trump. I mean, they're just fed up with his nonsense. And I think a lot more people are going to come out to vote against him than people think. I just think they need to have a definite person to vote for. And I believe at this point, my opinion, Bernie Sanders is the best bet.
Well, so that just kills off the discussion, and we should end it right here because there's no further we can go with it hear what it is that Mr. Bloomberg intends to do.
Well, I mean, I think he'll run if he sees an opportunity. If you look at it, I've read his book, and I've looked at his financial and brief political career. And he's an opportunist. You know, he was a Democrat, then he's a Republican. He was a Democrat when it was good to be a Democrat. He's a Republican when it's good to be a Republican. He's a businessman. He thinks like a businessman. And a businessman thinks about immediate opportunity and capital. and gaining capital and gaining wealth. And that's how he, as far as I'm concerned, if you've read some of his books, which I have, and looked at his lifestyle, that's what his focus is on. How, what's best to benefit me? What is the best position I can take that will make me the most, give me the most capital, that will give me the most wealth, that will give me the most control? His whole financial organization, Bloomberg Information Financial Organization, how to corner the market, how to control the flow of information on the market. He's a businessman, but I just don't think a businessman is what this country needs, is what this world needs. We need to really get beyond the idea of capital, and we really need to get back to the idea of people, you know, if it ever was. If it ever was, you know, if it's just not lip service, we really need to get, because we're all connected. No matter how much you want to hear it or don't want to hear it, we're all connected, and what affects one affects all.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Ed. Good to hear from you. We'll take a break and come back to your thoughts at 888-874-4888. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we started off today with the topic of Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of the city of New York, who is said to be mulling, seriously considering entering the presidential race. And it's unusual. It's going to be, even if he decides that he would do it, he will be entering later than almost everybody else. He would be a surprise in the midst of everybody. He brings a different profile. And then again, he doesn't. He's a very interesting character. He could be liberal, he could be Republican, he could be independent, who knows? But we'll see. We're just waiting to know whether he is or is he ain't. James from New York, excuse me, James from New York, you're on the air.
Hello, I'd like to know why everybody wants to think this guy's going to win. And I feel that he's not qualified. He ran the city in the ground. He disrespected the workers. He didn't want to give them a raise or nothing. So what makes him qualified to him to become president?
What makes any of them qualified, for that matter?
I mean,
so in that sense, he has as much right to make a play as the others who already have declared.
Well, he was not like the his own people that he put in charge, but he didn't trust him. So in the sense that his whole feature is, well, I'm a businessman, you do what I tell you to do. Well, he's in the sort of following the same category as Trump. So in a sense, these guys, they figure their money can give them all they want, but it only brings them more problems.
But isn't that natural? If you come out of the world of business, you think like a business person. And
only so far.
I mean, it goes with the territory.
Well,
you don't have to go along with it, but you have to understand how the mind works coming out of that world.
Well,
it's like Trump. Trump doesn't care about anything. He doesn't care about it. He doesn't have a simpatico. He doesn't care about people and how they're making their way through life on a daily basis, dealing with issues, and that's not his concern.
Well, his concern now is the country is at a very time low now. We can, America can no longer get friendship around the world anymore.
But as they see it, it is the best of times. Trump keeps talking about the economy, how lively it is, how people are prospering and achieving their goals. He's encouraging people to think optimistically about the country because good things are happening. And it's because of him and his savvy as a business person. He knows what to pay attention to and basically the bottom line in terms of production. He has to produce a country that is in good financial shape. And that's what he's paying attention to. He doesn't have time for the other stuff.
Well, the country now is broke. This country's broke. His whole program with the trades with China and Japan and these other countries are over. No longer those countries are going to loan money to America anymore. If you read your Bible, it will tell you that all these countries that once here will no longer be her friends anymore. So America has no more friendship anymore. She's gone. Even Canada, which is north of North America, don't want to deal with America no more. The problems that she did with Mexico and those people down there that now, all those things are coming back here. So America will not last, not even end of the year, 2020.
All right. I don't agree with that, but that's your opinion. Thank you so much. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hello, Eutrice. Good afternoon.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Thanks for all the great music also. Something worthwhile in this world of nothingness. Anyway, it's just makes me wonder what the heck is going on. You know, I think to myself, why Biden run this election? Why not the last election? He was the vice president for 8 years. Isn't it customary that the vice president for 8 years would then run for president in the last election? Seems to me they want Trump to be the president at all costs. And why would Donald Trump want to be the president?
Trump wants to be the president, too.
Would you want to be the president?
If he had to choose between him as president and what's his name? Vice president. He'll choose himself.
It's just a coincidence that for 20 years he would go on the David Letterman show like a couple of times a year, and every time he was on, David Letterman would ask Donald Trump if he would consider running for president, and they would all laugh about it. And he would say, oh, I could probably do a better job than anybody else. But, you know, seriously, would you want to be the president of the United States, Eutrice?
I don't even want to think about it.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me that he would even want
to
be the president.
There are people who are ideally suited for the job. It's a hit on or miss. There's no guarantee that whoever becomes president is up for the job or will do a good job, as we are experiencing now. But, you know, this is the way the world works. We can't, I mean, what are you going to do? How are you going to change it?
Well,
this is how it's set up. The government is set up to run in a particular way. You have a president and a vice president and senators and members of Congress and so forth, all to deliver a well-organized society. It hasn't happened yet, but compared to other places, compared to other systems, well, this is what we have to work with.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to reason it out, and it doesn't make any sense that a person who's in their 70s, who has all the money they need, would want to put themselves in a position like this. where he has to
be
under the gun for the last few years.
They have something special to offer. In some societies, he is at the right age because he has achieved all the things that he wants to achieve in life. He has all the things that he wants to have in life. And so he could devote his total time and energy to nurturing or seeing to the needs of the nation. That's the thinking in some societies. Age is a good thing because you would have come to the job of president having experienced life in all these different dimensions. So you have a special preparedness for the job. We don't think that way.
Well,
but look at it. Biden is in his 70s. Bernie Sanders is in his 70s. And if he enters, if Bloomberg enters the race, he too will be in his 70s. We have quite a few people up in age. We have Elizabeth Warren, who's up in age. So this is it's different from the crop of candidates we had in the last round of elections who were much younger, comparatively speaking. But people seem to be responding to age this time around very differently.
I know, I understand the examples you brought out. But they're politicians. They're people that have been, you know, in the game for a long time. Donald Trump wasn't a politician. He was just a businessman. He's making a lot of money for the system that's in place now, that's controlling us and them. He makes a lot of money for people. An example, Sean Hannity's show. For the last 3 years, all he has to do is talk about Donald Trump every day. We're doing it ourselves, but we're not a commercial station. As a commercial station, he's making lots of money for the system, and the rich are getting richer, richer, richer as I'm speaking. And this is far deeper than we're really able to think. There's something more sinister and diabolical going on here than meets the eye, and we're just taking it for granted that all the stuff that we get, that we're fed every day, is what's really going on. And I'm putting
out.
In the meantime,
we have a practical problem facing us.
I'm bringing out an important example that Joe Biden was the vice president for 8 years under Obama. He made decisions. Like in the Ukraine there, to get his son a lot of money, and went over the head of Obama to do that. And it doesn't make any sense that he wouldn't have run for president last time unless they wanted Donald Trump to be the president, because he's not a politician and he could be blamed for everything and keep our
attention on him. You're wandering into the land of conjecture. We don't know. We don't know that that is true. What you are outlining is true. We know that certain people end up being candidates, and the nation of voters is asked to choose. Who do you want to be led by? Who do you want to place the reins of the country in whose hands should that happen? We don't know what... We don't have much power beyond that, except from time to time we react in a more forceful way than in others, and then at other times because we have a vested interest in these things. But this is politics. We have to either figure a way that we can work the system or get out of it.
Okay, let me just ask you this then, and I'm just looking for your opinion. Had Joe Biden run in the last election, instead of just Hillary against Trump, it was Joe Biden in there, even if he had to be an independent, if he had lost the primary to Hillary in some way, don't you think he would have beaten Donald Trump?
No. Not necessarily. No.
He on the fact that he was the vice president for 8 years, isn't it customary that the vice president...
That, in fact, would have been used against him. That he was vice president to Obama, because the whole point of Trump's campaign was to ridicule the previous administration and basically hound them and say that they were so inept and corrupt and, you know, silly that they should never have been in charge of this country. That's how he won so much support. He turned the very thing that you are talking about, he turned that on its head against Obama and Biden.
Okay. Well, I didn't think of it that way. Thanks for enlightening me on that point. I wasn't thinking about that. I was just thinking that didn't make any sense to me, really. And if we really put our minds together, we could figure it out that this whole process doesn't make any sense. How does a person like Bloomberg just decide, I'm going to run for president? What about all the people that have already been in the race, went through all of these so-called debates?
Yeah, but this is the nature of the game.
But it should be the nature.
The nature
of
it is you want to run, you feel you're qualified to run, you could run.
The game doesn't make any sense. Why would one person get in the race early when they can just jump on later? I mean, Biden already has a big name. People who know him well. I can understand people like Andrew Yang or Tulsi Gabbard, because nobody really knows them, so they got to start out in the beginning. But it seems to me that Biden or Bernie Sanders, they could wait till all the dust clears and then just jump on a train at the end, like Bloomberg's planning to do.
You can't do that because
there's a big flaw in the system.
A campaign, you can't leave it to chance unless you have a lot of money like Bloomberg, that you can get anything started in the shortest period of time because you have the money to fund it. You can buy your ads, millions of dollars in advertising. You can have groups operating in your behalf all over the place.
Are you saying you agree with that then? It should just be whoever has the most money.
It's not. It is that this is how it is. This is how it is. Now the question is, do you want to contend with it or don't you? That's the basic question. Do you want to do this? Do you want to be part of this or don't you? But that's how it is. Well, we've come to the end of a program. I hear the music in the background. Time flies when we're having fun. We'll see each other tomorrow. Thanks for contributing today. Bye-bye.